Welcome to Philanthropy Today. Our goal is to inspire giving by educating listeners on ways to give and how to connect with charitable causes. My name is Dave Lewis. I'm your host of Philanthropy Today. Thank you for joining the show. Anytime I have the opportunity to visit with a wonderful friend and a great friend, lover of the community, is a terrific day for me. And C. Clyde Jones is joining us on Philanthropy Today. It's a delight to have you here, sir. You're looking good, and it seems like you're feeling good.
Hey, I have a warning for you.
Okay.
Don't judge a book by its cover. And then appearances can be deceiving. No, I really am. I'm feeling awfully good now in my 101st year.
You know, this is, your story is iconic in our community, and this community is so much better because of the influence that you have had and the contributions that you have made, not only financially, but also through advising so many different organizations over the years. You have left an indelible mark on the city of Manhattan and the K-State community.
Well, I hope that's true, and I want to assure you that the satisfaction is all mine. Anything I can contribute is very satisfying to me.
You know, you retired in what, 1986 from K-State?
Yes.
Shortly after that, we had this challenge in 1993 called the Flood of 93. And that exposed a lot of needs in our community. You know, from a historic perspective, it was one of the great challenges that we had. You came to Manhattan 10 years after the 51 flood, which was, you know, just a tremendous disaster. And in 93, we had something similar. The outcomes were different. The challenges were different. But boy, I tell you what, I look back at that because I was involved in the day-to-day process of informing people about, you know, some of the things that were going on and ways that people could help. And it seems to me that with the 93 flood, we learned an awful lot about the needs in our community and also how to address them.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
And one of those ways to address some of those needs is what eventually became the Yes Fund.
That's right. It started in 93 with a grant, supposedly, from the McCormick Foundation in Chicago.
And the McCormick Foundation Chicago Tribune. Reached out to Ed Seaton,
yes,
the publisher of the Manhattan Mercury.
And Ed raised some local money to go with the grant. And I don't remember how many dollars were involved, but we helped an awful lot of people that summer. And Ed involved me from the start. And we didn't have an advisory board in the beginning. And after that first year, helping people with the flood, we continued the funding. And let's say it was called a community fund. Didn't have a particular name. But we would have organizations like Boys and Girls Club or Big Brother, Big Sister apply for grants from us. And for the first couple of years, it just left it with me. I would review the applications, make the decision, and we weren't handing out hundreds of thousands. At that time, it was probably more like 50 to 60,000.
But that's a lot of money for these organizations.
At that time, it was, you mm-hmm. bet.
That's yeah. still a lot of money today.
Oh, yeah, sure is.
How did you get involved with helping this organization?
Well, that first year, just as a contributor, and my dear sweet wife, Midge, went down and put sandbags on the bank of the Blue River to stop the flooding. But my involvement was simply making a financial contribution. And then the next year, Ed actually came to my office, sat down with me. He said, "You probably know more about social services in this town than anybody else." I'd been on the city social service advisory board, and he said, "Let's talk about how we continue the use of this fund." And so the Yes Fund was actually born at that time and didn't have the big contributors like it does today. It was McCormick Foundation money and what could be raised. Hey, you've got newspaper advertising for free when you're a publisher. So we would raise, I can't give you numbers, but probably something in the neighborhood of $80,000, $90,000 to give out to organizations.
And there are a number of organizations that since have benefited greatly from the Yes Fund. And, you know, as we look back at, you know, it's the 30th anniversary of the 93 flood, but also we can celebrate and recognize the wonderful things that have happened because of the Yes Fund. And I know that, you know, your associations with Kansas State University and then College of Education Dean Mike Holland got involved as well. And I know there are a lot of people that were intricately involved in the Yes Fund and moving it forward.
Yeah, the people initially who were actually making financial contributions, Tracy and Bob DeBrine, a master teacher, Phil Howell of Kansas State Bank was big. Nearly anybody with money in the town was approached, and they were asked to put $10,000 a year into the program. And that money would be used to match individual contributions to the fund. So we could say, if you give us a dollar, we'll match 50 cents of that to make it available for grants. And that went on probably for 2 or 3 years at that level. And we began then to recruit the major donors. And today there's an advisory board made up, I think there are 12, 14 people, each of which put $10,000 in a year. And that money is used for matching. But in addition, the Community Foundation, which is now overseeing the fund, matches also with the Lincoln Deal Fund and some other funds that are available. So today we're talking big bucks. I think the total is $275,000 to $300,000 a year.
That's a lot of money.
Well, it sure is.
Now, one of the things that we might just throw out there for some perspective, YES, we call it the YES Fund, but YES is an acronym for Youth Empowerment for Success. What was it that you learned from 93 and the years after that really seemed to be challenges for youth in our community?
Well, in the very beginning, we didn't focus just on youth programs. But as we developed a program and superintendent of schools at that time, trying to remember who was superintendent at that time, maybe Jim Benjamin. Anyhow, superintendent of schools was involved. Mike Holland was for College of Education. And the decision was, let's work through the public schools and do programs after school, before or after weekends, so we don't involve ourselves in the actual educational process during the day, but evening, weekends, mornings, programs of any kind by any organization could prove that we're giving youth an opportunity to learn how to communicate, be philanthropic, and be service-oriented. And at the very beginning, we didn't call it Yes Fund in the miniature. That came out later. But the biggest benefactor from our, well, two major, Boys and Girls Club, Phil Howell was very much supportive of them and always increased the contribution to Boys and Girls Club. And then USD 6383 has a foundation. And faculty members at the high school and elementary schools could apply through their foundation for grants. So we started supplementing that. I think initially we put like $60,000 a year over to the education side, so through our school system. But again, all programs had to be outside the traditional function of our schools.
I know the Boys and Girls Club really gained steam after that contribution from the Yes Fund. Big Brothers Big Sisters is another organization that has benefited. There's a number of organizations that have benefited over the years. As you look back at 30 years of the Yes Fund and your involvement with the Yes Fund, How does that make you feel as a philanthropist?
Well, my test for money I give away is, does it make a difference in the community? And believe me, the Yes Fund makes a huge difference in the life of, think of a school kid who doesn't have any money, family has no money. So participating in extracurricular activity that costs money, they can't do it. And we know that we've kept kids off the street, kept them out of jail through the use of Yes Fund. So, hey, do I feel grateful for being part of it? You bet I do.
In my story, you know, I'm very grateful too, because my daughter was born in 1995. 10 years later, you know, we lost her mother. And for her to be involved in the Boys and Girls Club activities and also to have a big sister was extremely valuable for her and her growth, but also is a great relief for me. And I know that this is a story that is echoed by many parents.
Oh, yes.
I work with both of those organizations with fundraisers that they have, and I hear stories from youngsters that are in the program now, and it is totally heart-lifting to hear the impacts that these organizations and others have all made. And you know, you talk about the school district's foundation and some of the artwork that has developed through from some of the youngsters that have, you know, worked through some of the programs that the school district has had.
Well, and the Yes Fund supports that type of activity. Mm-hmm. A grant to the Manhattan Arts Center, for example, for a youth program to get kids interested in the arts. Music operations of various kinds can qualify. And anything that enhances the life quality of life for young people fits the bill.
You know, we look at 30 years back. Let's look 30 years forward when you're 131 and and think about, you know, the future of organizations like the Yes Fund. And this is something that, you know, has obviously the need and the ability, the capacity to continue to serve youth, but it takes a continued effort to share the message and to help financially assist it so yes. that it can grow and help the kids.
I've been involved with social services at all levels for a long time. And I've been asked by the city when we go asking for funds there, how much money would you really need? If we had $1 million, we still wouldn't address all of the issues. So the issues out there, the problems out there are going to continue to be with us. But the Yes Fund and every other organization I'm associated with would like to go out of business by achieving its objectives. In other words, take care of the problem so that youth do not need a lot of money being poured into program, because our school system, our community provides that. But of course, Yes Fund and other philanthropic organizations will long continue to exist.
You know, and Ed Seton and Dean Holland have now passed. And what a tremendous legacy it is for them. And here, the Yes Fund continues to have the support of the Manhattan Mercury and also Kansas State University, primarily through the Education College. And, you know, that is an effort that I would hope has the capacity to really help influence tomorrow's school leaders and teachers. Is that something that Mike Holland felt that would, you know, benefit yeah. them yeah. and
so,
their careers?
So many of the programs that were funded through the Yes Fund would have a college student from the College of Education work with the organization and the kids. So it was a joint effort at that time from the very beginning of Mike's involvement that he made certain that there were students in the College of Education who worked with these organizations. It was a very well integrated operation, community-wide, Dave.
You know, you referred to the idea of keeping kids off the streets and out of jail, but also what this does for youngsters is really accelerates their capacity to learn, to be social. And, you know, we've seen a lot of leaders in organizations like Boys and Girls Club and Big Brothers Big Sisters that have continued in their adult years to advocate for the organizations, to volunteer for these organizations, and give to these organizations. So that is a tremendous legacy as well.
It is. And what I perceive is that the roots laid down by the Yes Fund early on, 30 years ago, are deep roots. They are anchored in very fertile soil. So from my perspective, we'll continue to see, I'm going to say, a 3-to-1 payback. I made that number up.
Okay.
But every dollar spent produces benefit far in excess of that dollar. And that, again, I'm going to come back to what I told you earlier. When I give money, I want to see it make a difference. And money given to the Yes Fund makes a huge difference. So, and yep.
And that's a great segue into the fact that we are now in the midst of the campaign through Labor Day for collections through the Yes Fund. Those can be given through the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. All the information in order to do so for our listeners' benefit is in the show notes that's attached to our podcast. And see, Clyde, I know that this has got to be something that is a badge of honor among the many that you have to be able to be a part of the Yes Fund. And, you know, looking back 30 years ago, did you think that in 2023 that you'd be here talking and promoting the Yes Fund?
Hey, I wrote a book about aging in 1982 where I put 85 years as probably the limit on people's lives. Here I sit, 16 years beyond that.
It's time for an update.
If I were to rewrite that book, instead of talking about people having to go to nursing homes and have care at age 85, I'd extend that now to 95, because aging has really extended longevity.
Well, we are proud to have had you on our podcast today. Thank you again for all the contributions that you make, especially, you know, as we talk about the Yes Fund and what the wonderful things that it does for children in our community. And I'm certain that this is something that that you greatly appreciate, to have been a part of such an iconic effort and with some of Manhattan's greatest citizens.
Well, it's been a genuine pleasure for me. The satisfaction I get from being associated with something like the Yes Fund, overwhelming. I want to be involved. And I've stayed active deliberately. It's a help to mental health and to physical health to stay active. So I'm happy to stay involved. I thank the Lord for keeping me around.
And see, Clyde, one of these things, and I think that this is, you know, the future of any community is its youth. And through efforts like the Yes Fund, through the finances that are generated and distributed to these organizations, that's got to be a real quality of life matter for a community like Manhattan, doesn't it?
It sure is. And when I talked about making a difference earlier, the difference is partly in just the quality of life that our young people can appreciate and enjoy. Just think, if young people were not exposed to art and music, the difference would make in their lives. So we're talking about, I guess, abstract sort of issues in the quality of life. Not just getting up in the morning and feeling good.
And I think we'll end it right there. That's a great way to end it.
Well, thank you for having me, Dave. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for joining us for Philanthropy Today, an inside look at the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. You can always learn more about the GMCF at our website, mcfks.org. We also invite you to subscribe to Philanthropy Today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dave Lewis. I'm proud to host Philanthropy Today. It's hosted and produced in the Ad Astra Cast Studios in downtown Manhattan, Kansas.